Glory to God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church. And if we could keep the screen down tonight, there's a number of scriptures I want to use. The only way this is going to work is for you to help me tonight. All right. Amen. You've got to participate, okay?
Amen.
If I raise this hand, would you say Jesus?
Jesus.
All right. And hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good. So you have to pay attention because you never know when I'm going to.
Jesus.
All right. Yeah, this side is much better than this side over here. Amen. Glory to God. Would you turn to John, the 5th chapter? And both hands go up and say amen, all right?
Amen.
All right, okay. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Amen.
Now, he wasn't talking about the New Testament. He was talking about the Old Testament. He said, search the scriptures, and you know what you're going to find? You're going to find me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then John chapter 8 and verse 53. It says, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? So it's the high priest and the Sadducees who are saying, hey, where's your credentials? You know, we've got somebody that we really rely on, and that's Abraham. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, or the Holy Ghost, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. He's talking to religious people, and he's calling them a liar. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. How more clear could it be that Abraham saw me and he rejoiced? Back then, God appeared to Abraham in what was called a theophany. It was a physical form, and he saw Jesus before Jesus entered in through the womb of Mary in Bethlehem. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing upon your word, God. Open it up for us tonight that we would see things that we had never seen before. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Would you also look at Luke, the 24th chapter? Luke 24, starting in verse number 13. This is right after the crucifixion and resurrection. And verse number 13, it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, I preached something a few months ago that says, when we get in trouble, we don't recognize Jesus. It seems we're just all right. uh, it's so true that when we're in trouble, it doesn't seem like we can find Jesus. He's not there. And they were so disappointed thinking that he was going to set up a kingdom here, take care of all of their problems. And then it didn't happen, and so they're discussing it. And when Jesus showed up, they didn't know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deeds and word before God and all of the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Can't tell you how many people I've read scripture to or quoted scripture to, and it wasn't open to them. But God's got a way of opening our eyes to what the scriptures really say. The Holy Ghost is the eye opener, if you will. The title, if you would, of this message would be Christ Before Christ, or Christ BC. Jesus was revealing himself from the very beginning of creation. He had to. He wanted people to know who he was. Adam was the first image of God, created in the very image of God, is what the word says. And every prophet beginning at Moses was another detailed picture of our Savior to come. He gave us little snapshots, if you will. Every characteristic of these prophets, every display of their miraculous power, all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet people were blind. They did not see that. Jesus was revealing himself without giving away his identity, if you will. It was the best kept secret in the entire world. Even the devil didn't know who he was, or he wouldn't have put him on the cross. Just little sneak previews of himself waiting in the wings of eternity. Amen. To show himself strong. Can you imagine sending love letters to his people for 4,000 years without signing his name? He loved man, his greatest creation, but he had to love man from afar off. Until he could come in the flesh to cleanse us from all of our sins, in most cases, unrequited love, because people didn't know who he was. It's like loving somebody and that person never knowing that you really love them. And that's what it was like for the Old Testament. When God loved them as much as he loves you and I tonight, but they didn't know who he was. It seemed that every major theme in the Bible points to Jesus. Everything. Study the flood, and it's an insight into Jesus Christ. We find every major situation in the Bible. As I said in Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. You can't imagine his creation, and all of their thinking was about evil things. We're arriving at that day today, folks, where people don't even know that it's wrong. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. There isn't anything that grieves God more than his creation, not thinking about him, but thinking about evil and wickedness and all of the corrupt things within the world. But then verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, these were all shadows and types. They were all little snapshots of what God was going to do later on. If you'll turn to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verse number 20, it says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Okay, here's the snapshot in the Old Testament. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have a little display, a little snapshot telling us, okay, this is just a little protocol. This is something that you're going to see later. What is the book of Exodus all about? A preview of how Jesus would set us free from bondage. Joshua was a prototype of Jesus conquering the enemy of our soul and giving us victory in every battle that we ever go through. It was Jesus. It was that prototype. It was the example in the Old Testament of a great God who show up in the New Testament. It is as if we were on the road to Emmaus, surrounded by religion, surrounded by tradition that confuses us about who Jesus is and what his plan was for our lives, and perhaps disappointment, until one day Jesus met us on the road to righteousness. Amen. And all of a sudden he opened our mind. Amen. And opened the scripture to us. And explained through the Holy Ghost that it was his plan from the very beginning. Amen. To save a people. We see it in every word breathed from God in Scripture. I am constantly seeing new Scripture through the eyes of God, if you will, that again points to the identity of God in the Old Testament, example after example of, that's Jesus, that's Jesus. That's Jesus who wrestled with Jacob. He saw God face to face, the Bible says. It had to be Jesus. Hallelujah. It was Jesus that walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice that he was to be sacrificed on. Can you imagine? His father says, okay, you take the wood up to the same place that Jesus was crucified. He then, at the request of his father Abraham, laid down his life. And Genesis 22 and 8 says to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Amen. And so we find the shadows and types, the little pictures that God has given us in the Old Testament of what he was going to do in the New Testament. And we tonight, church, we are so privileged. It says in 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, that the Spirit of Christ was in the Old Testament prophets. But they didn't even understand what they were doing. But we understand we not only have the Old Testament, but we have the fulfillment of that in the New Testament. We know the mighty God in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Joseph was falsely accused, and yet he said nothing in his defense, like Jesus was dumb before his shearers. And then Joseph was promoted on high. And Jesus, because he said nothing and he laid down his life for you and I, he was promoted. All power is given to him in heaven and earth. That statement wasn't made until after he went to Calvary. The promotion wasn't given until after he laid down his life. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, rejected by all of the people. Can you imagine ministering for years and years and not one person being converted at all? And he said, oh, that my head was like rivers, that I could weep and weep. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem because of the people that he preached to and never responded. And Jeremiah, well, he was just a shadow and type. He was just a picture of what our God really was going to be. How about Hosea, told to keep going after his harlot wife, bring her back to the house, restore time and time again. Go get her, clean her up, restore, bring her back to the house. Jesus told the woman caught in the act of adultery, I don't see any accusers. Go and sin no more. Even though the law said that she should be stoned, Jesus said, no, I am going to exercise mercy. He circumvented the law, if you will. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Hebrews, the first chapter? Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, God, who at sundry or many times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So we get his message through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son or flesh, the embodiment of God in flesh, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. This Jesus, the Son, made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image or the engraved stamp, if you will, of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, this express image of God sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, promoted, being made so much better than an angel, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all of the angels of God worship him, that first begotten son. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sepulcher of righteousness is the sepulcher of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He's talking about us. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Because we love righteousness and we hate iniquity, there's a special anointing on each and every one of us. Not only that we know who Jesus is, but there's going to be a gladness, there's going to be an excitement in us that there aren't in other people. John 1 and 4 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Amen. And now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. My wife will tell you that I am a little different when it comes to buying gifts. When I buy a gift for somebody, whether it's a birthday or any kind of other occasion, I just can't help myself, but I have to give it to them right away. Oh, the birthday is 4 days away, but you know, let's just forget about that. Let me just give you the gift right now. It's just, I have that anticipation. I want to see their reaction, and I want to feel the goodness that comes by giving. The older you get, when you get as old as I am, it is much better to give than it is to receive. This was very difficult for me this morning. Hallelujah. And I just don't know how Jesus could keep this gift for 4,000 years. He had to just give us a few hints, a few glimpses. Could we just unwrap a corner of the present and show you a little bit of what I got for you? I can't wait to see their faces when they're filled with the Holy Ghost in that upper room. I can't wait to see your face when you're filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. I can't wait to give you the gift that is the best gift on the planet. Word pictures and people pictures. Oh, and some very close friends like Peter, who said in Matthew 16:16, "Thou art the Christ," right? You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God, aren't you? Oh, Peter, I'm just going to give you a little more information. I'm just going to give you the gift before anybody else gets it because, you know, you're just so excited about me. Hallelujah. Who told you, Peter? Oh, heaven told me. Hallelujah. I can be studying in my office and walk into wherever my wife is and say, "Hey, you got to see this. He just showed me something I have never seen before." Those little gifts are wrapped up neatly for each and every one of us if we really want to get to them. Amen. Would you turn to John 16 and 13? I'm not preaching very long tonight.
Jesus.
Caught you looking at scripture, didn't I? John 16, and verse number 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees studied the Old Testament for their entire life. They counted every letter. They evaluated every word. And yet they didn't have the knowledge of Christ. But in just a few minutes, Jesus explained to two men all of the Old Testament, that everything that they saw and they studied, it all pointed to him. And that he was the fulfillment of all of the prophets of the Old Testament. Fulfillment of all of the feasts. Fulfillment of everything that they celebrated. Fulfillment of the Passover. He was the fulfillment of everything that they held dear and sacred. He was the one that ended all of that because he arrived on the scene and said, "Look at me. I am your Savior." Yeah. Would you turn to Hebrews, the 7th chapter? Hebrews 7, verse number 1. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." Here this high priest blessed Abraham, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, or peace, which is the king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoil. Hallelujah. And so, what about this Melchizedek? Another way of seeing Jesus in the Old Testament is to actually see Jesus in the Old Testament. I believe that we can literally see Christ in the Old Testament in the person of the mysterious high priest Melchizedek. He was that perfect picture in the Old Testament of our Jesus in the New Testament. I believe it was an actual physical appearance of Jesus Christ long before he was born in Bethlehem, a Christophany or a facsimile, if you will. Here are some of the facts. Melchizedek's name meant King of Righteousness. Well, who is the King of Righteousness? Jeremiah 23:6 said that the Messiah would be called the Lord of our righteousness. He was the King of Salem, which translates meaning peace. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that Messiah would be the Prince of Peace. He appeared out of nowhere, without father or mother, without beginning or end of days. And Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and I am the last, the beginning and the end. My God. Now, Melchizedek had more authority than Abraham had because he blessed Abraham. Who can bless? Abraham gave a tenth of his tithes to Melchizedek, and in Hebrews 7:3, it said Melchizedek was as like the Son of God remaining a priest forever. And now if you'd look at Hebrews 7:11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, or under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaining to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses sprang, spake nothing concerning priesthoods. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, for there is verily a disannulment of the commandments going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. That's my Jesus. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testimony. Glory to God. The picture, the revealing in the Old Testament of a God that was going to come on the scene in the New Testament. And then if you turn to Galatians, the third chapter, starting in verse number 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That's how we get the blessings, the promise of Abraham through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or abideth thereto. Now, to Abraham, his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained of angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to Galatians 5 and verse number 18. It says this, but if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And thank God for that. Since none of us could fulfill the law, Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Jesus had to come in the flesh to free us from the curse. And we are the people who can declare the identity of God to our generation. We're such a privileged people to have an understanding of what's important and what God came to fulfill.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Would you turn to just a couple of more scriptures? Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 10 says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. How could it get any more plain that our God is the God of the Old Testament? He's our Savior, if you will. And then if you turn to Colossians, the first chapter, we could have our musicians come. Colossians chapter 1, I know this is familiar for most of you. Verse number 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Obviously, we're talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. By Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence.
Amen.
First in rank, superior. Hallelujah. And then our last scripture is in John, the 8th chapter. John I can't tell you, and I'm sure you've had the same experience over the years. You've talked to people and they said, well, you have your way and I have my way. We all believe in the same God. No, we don't. No, we don't. It takes a revelation. It takes a God to open our eyes, just like he opened the eyes of two men on the road to Emmaus. All these times, did they see Jesus? Did they believe in Jesus? Absolutely. But what he did is he opened their understanding that everything that was in the Old Testament was all about him. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. And then in John, the 8th chapter, in verse 23, it says, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. The Bible tells us in John 3 and 13, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven and is in heaven, Jesus Christ. And verse 24, he says this, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. In other words, you need to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You know, you won't be baptized in Jesus' name unless you know that Jesus is the name of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We got one God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And the purpose for Calvary isn't just so we could read about it. This is not another book report. It's so that we take some action, that we don't just hear the word of God, but we're doers of the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's my message. Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? So what do you think Cleopas and his friend did after they had dinner with Jesus, after their heart burned within them because they got revelation from God? I gotta believe, like the woman who was at the well, went out and told everybody. I'm the kind of individual that when I have something new that I have discovered, I just can't keep it to myself. I've got to tell other people. Amen. And this is such good information that we just can't keep it to ourselves. We are not an aquarium. We are a fishers of men. Amen. We don't get together just to stay saved. We get together to get excited about telling other people about what we know. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The altar's open. Would you come?